Welcome to the Trichotillomania Help Podcast. I'm your host Marnelle. I suffered from trichotillomania, and with this podcast I want to give you help and information to overcome trichotillomania. All I want is that you can control your urges to pull and that you become the best version of yourself to reach your full potential. Today, we're going to talk about why you need both your head and your heart to overcome trichotillomania. Maybe it sounds a little cliche, but when I was diving into this, doing my research, I totally felt that it was true and that I've experienced this myself too. And that you need both your head and your heart is an easy and powerful way of saying it. I think this episode will be very interesting for you. So, if you want extra empowerment and tips to make your journey easier, keep listening. Okay, I will explain what I mean by this now. When we face challenging situations in life, it's helpful to use both your thinking abilities, head, and your emotions, heart, to deal with them effectively. So it's about the combination of cognitive understanding and emotional resilience to tackle the challenges. And in this case, the challenges associated with trichotillomania. This episode will start with the head, the cognitive aspect of overcoming trichotillomania. I will explain how you can use the heart in part 2 of this episode. Your mind is extremely powerful, the best supercomputer in the world. So let's make use of that and let it work for you instead of against you. The first step to take with your head is understanding. It really helps when you gain understanding or even more understanding about trichotillomania. And that's also what this podcast is for. The more you educate yourself about trichotillomania, its symptoms, that it's fed by triggers, that it's a coping mechanism to deal with emotions and not just pulling your hair, the steps you can take to manage it and potential treatment options, the more it empowers you to make informed choices and to do what's best for you. In my program, I also dive much deeper into the science behind trichotillomania, what causes it, etc. And because you're listening to this podcast, you should now be aware that you have trichotillomania in the first place. And that's a huge step. Because trust me, if you must believe the stats that trichotillomania affects 1% to 4% of the total population, and there are even studies or sources which say that it's even higher than that, then it means there are millions of people out there with trichotillomania. And not every case is clinically reported. Mine wasn't either. So I believe many more people have trich, and many of them don't know what they have. And when you don't know it's trichotillomania, how do you know what to do about it? How likely is it that you will be able to manage this condition? Not very likely. I wasn't able to manage it for over 6 years this way. When I knew it was trichotillomania, I finally began my journey to overcome it, not knowing I would eventually be doing what I do right now. Anyways, let's go to the next step, identifying triggers. So, understanding about trichotillomania goes about a broader understanding of trichotillomania. When you understand it better at a general level, it helps you to make overall informed decisions about your recovery. Identifying triggers means that you use your cognitive abilities to find out more about your unique triggers and how they relate to your specific experience with the condition. So let me explain this more. With your thinking abilities, you can figure out what things or situations make you want to pull your hair or make you want to use this coping mechanism. In other words, you start building awareness. Triggers are like little signals that tell your brain to pull. After all, your brain and body need to release negative energy, and it's wired to do this by pulling your hair. Triggers can be different for each person, like feeling stressed, bored, or anxious. When you pay attention to these triggers, you can notice when they happen and understand why you feel the urge to pull your hair. So the goal with identifying triggers is that you become more aware of what triggers your hair pulling and learn how to manage those triggers effectively. Think about reducing or eliminating them as much as you can, because the goal is that we stop reinforcing those pathways, right? And we can do this by pulling less, by preventing it from happening, by actually teaching your brain that the way to release negative energy or the way to cope doesn't have to be by your hair. And when you can identify your triggers, you can take action on the things you can control about them. And thus, it becomes easier to reduce the time you pull and work towards effective trichotillomania management where you barely pull another hair again. Yes, trichotillomania is a condition, but as you heard me say this many times, you don't have to suffer from it. The hair pulling can be reduced by an absolute minimum, and you have it within you to find the answers. This was true for me, and I believe it is for you. I'm here to help you get these answers out of you. As you start to know your triggers better, you can take better action to deal with them in a better way in the future. This can be by finding healthy distractions or coping techniques to prevent the urge from taking over and landing in the vicious circle of trichotillomania. And as you probably know, once you're in there, it's hard to get out of it. And this brings me to the third step, coping strategies. The head also comes into play when you learn and implement coping strategies to manage your urges and replace hair pulling with healthier alternatives. And coping strategies are indispensable when it comes to managing trichotillomania. And to make effective coping strategies, you need to build upon the previous step, which was about creating awareness where you identify your triggers. Creating awareness alone is not enough. For many tricksters, stress is a huge trigger. It was for me too. So when you know that stress is a trigger for you, you can think about using relaxation techniques like deep breathing, mindfulness, or something like going for a walk to manage stress when it arises. The most important thing here is that you do something about your trigger, because when you just let it happen, in 9 out of 10 cases, you will reach for your hair. And we can take action on this. We can both prevent the pulling and intervene in the pulling. Although the second one is more difficult, from my own experience and from many of my clients. My biggest progress was actually made in prevention. But I know that everyone is different, and I'm not here to tell you what kind of coping strategies you should use. Stress is a broader trigger, but your triggers can also be extremely specific. I'm here to tell you that coping strategies based on your awareness and the triggers you identified are essential. Why? Because they equip you with the tools to handle your urges in a healthier and more constructive way. They allow you to redirect your attention or find healthier alternatives to manage stress or emotions without resorting to pulling your hair. It's good to remember that coping strategies can be both cognitive and behavioral. It can be cognitive as it involves the way you think or how you perceive situations. Think about using positive affirmations or encouraging statements to resist the urge to pull, or to simply be aware of your urges without judgment and letting them pass without acting on them. Or to challenge your negative thoughts about hair pulling. Ask yourself whether they help or harm you on your journey, and drop the ones that don't help you, so you will be left with the ones that do, with the positive and rational ones. And coping can be behavioral when you modify your actions and behaviors. Think about replacement activities, such as keeping your hands busy or engaging in alternative actions to distract yourself from the urge, or to use relaxation exercises, or even create physical barriers, such as wearing gloves, which worked for me, to make hair pulling more difficult. The fourth step you can take with your head is goal setting. Okay, So now you worked on your understanding of trichotillomania. You identified your triggers. You created coping strategies. What will now help you to stay focused and motivated? Goal setting. Why? Because it helps you to break your recovery journey down into manageable steps. Because overcoming trichotillomania is huge. You can't simply stop pulling your hair. No, it's a long and bumpy road with lots of twists and turns. Relapses in this case, and finding out what works best for you. And in order to keep going, to stay focused and motivated, setting goals gives you a sense of direction. You can measure your progress, whether it's big or small. You can allow yourself to celebrate achievements along the way. Even if it's just that, after a relaxation technique, you manage to not pull once in the afternoon. Fantastic! Think about this. What can be realistic recovery goals for you? How can you break down the journey into manageable steps? The fifth step you can take with your head is seeking help. Even though you don't necessarily need support, it can be highly beneficial and accelerate your progress in overcoming trichotillomania. So when you feel like you can benefit from it, please, don't go through this struggle alone. Seeking help is not a sign of weakness, but rather a proactive step towards taking control of your life and well-being. When you recognize when to seek help and when you're open to receiving support, it can be empowering and facilitate a more successful recovery journey. And you can get help or support in many forms. Not only mental health professionals, but also coaches like me or self-help programs. I've created a program that's now live, in which I wanted to give you a complete approach to managing trichotillomania. I believe that the answers are within you, and that it can be helpful to receive support from someone who actually experienced trichotillomania. Or maybe you can find other people who struggle with the disorder, or who want to be your accountability partner. Some sort of support can be helpful. So when you feel like you can benefit from it, go for it, or try it at least. With trichotillomania, the journey is not clear, and it's not immediately certain what will work for you. It's all about a willingness to try and do new things. As long as you're moving forward, that's all that matters. So these are the five steps you can take with your head to manage trichotillomania. Number 1, gain understanding of trichotillomania as a whole. Number 2, identifying your triggers and building awareness. Number 3, create coping strategies based on the previous step. Number 4, set realistic goals to break your journey down into manageable steps. And number 5, seek help or use resources to accelerate your progress. In the next episode, which will be part 2, I will explain how you can use your heart to manage trichotillomania. I thought it would be too much to put this into one episode. So, if you want to know how to use your heart to your advantage, listen to part 2 of this episode. That was it for today's episode. If you want to get more help and tips to overcome trichotillomania, then make sure to follow this podcast. If you are looking for a complete toolkit to finally stop pulling your hair, then you can enroll in my program to overcome trichotillomania. Share this podcast with others in the community to help me create awareness and reach more people. I wish you much strength to your journey, and I hope you have an amazing day.